The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello from Boise. Good day, everybody. Welcome in to the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Coming to you today from Boise, Idaho, where the Cats play in the NCAA tournament tomorrow night against the Davidson Wildcats at Taco Bell Arena on the Boise State University campus. And weather was great when we landed last night, got here to the hotel. Very pleasant. So if you are going to be one of what I would suspect is the relatively few making the trek out here, you'll find it very pleasant, I think. I did see the UK Alumni Association has put together a pregame party, so you can go to the Alumni Association's website and get details on that if you are going to make it here. I don't know what the alumni count would be in the Boise area, but hopefully there will be some blue there. We'll get maybe a little feel for that today when they have the open practice for all the teams, and we'll see what the turnout is of Cat fans. Even in the 2008 season, which was a disappointing season, and the Cats got shipped all the way to Anaheim, California, there was a contingent of Kentucky fans that showed up for the open practice. So we'll find out what that looks like today. Full show coming up today. We'll start with Kevin Greamy, former Wildcat, who's been a longtime broadcaster and NBA scout. He will join us for his take on the Cats in the tournament. Chris Fisher, always with us on Wednesdays from Cat's Paws. Mike Fields will join us from the KHSAA website, longtime Herald Leader high school basketball writer. We'll talk about the Boys Sweet 16 starting today. And we just added Reed Forgrave, who authored a piece in GQ on John Calipari, an in-depth profile that I just tweeted out a link to that if you haven't read it, you should. It's really good. Megan Calipari, one of Cal's daughters, tweeted out yesterday, it's, quote, the most real article about my dad I've ever read. So that's pretty strong compliment. So just communicated with Reed this morning, and he's going to come on with us. Let's get to the Wildcat News of the Day. It's a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. It's a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. One big note in the NCAA tournament, Virginia lost its sixth man of the year in the ACC, DeAndre Hunter. He's the guy that hit the shot that beat Louisville week before last. He lost him to a broken wrist, so he is out for the tournament. Also, St. Bonaventure and Radford were winners last night. Deb Moore, who's a part of UK Sports Information Team, she is a St. Bonaventure product, so we were all Bonnie fans yesterday, and they rallied to beat UCLA. Media reports out of Memphis say Tubby Smith is going to be out as head coach, and everybody's expecting Penny Hardaway to get the job. As I said, the Boys Sweet 16 starts today. Scott County and Trinity in the second game in a matchup of 30 win teams. The first game is Estill County and Corbin, and this is one of those neat stories because it's the first time ever for Estill County to make the state tournament. So I would suspect everybody from Irvin will be in Rupp Arena today. And Tyler Hero and Keldon Johnson picked for the Nike Hoop Summit, and Avery Williamson headed off to play for the New York Jets as a free agent. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. Let's get to a break. Our guest lineup each day is presented by Sleep Outfitters here on the show. And we are heading to the break. When we come back, we'll check in with Kevin Greavy. It's the Leach Report Radio Network from Boise.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Welcome back into The Leach Report. We are served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, two locations in Palomar and in Hamburg. And over the next few days, you're going to be watching a lot of basketball. And maybe you're going to have friends over for a watch party. Instead of you putting in all the work, planning a menu and cooking, just call one of the two Wild Eggs locations there in Lexington and let them do the catering. They'll cater those kinds of functions, business meetings, whatever it is. Give them a call. They'll take care of it. They will bring great food that everybody will love, and it'll just be real easy on you, and you can enjoy the games or get the work done that you have to in the meeting or whatever it is. Give them a call. Locally owned and operated Wild Eggs. We are efforting Kevin Grevy. But we're going to move ahead and move Chris Fisher up in the batting order right now while we continue to work on Kevin to talk a little bit about the Cats. And we'll start with some recruiting news that came out this week, Chris, since that's part of your beat. And it's DJ Jeffries committing to Kentucky, class of 2019, 6'7" forward out of Mississippi. Give us your take on his game.
Well, I think he's very similar to a lot of guys that John Calipari has signed here in recent years. He's a really versatile kind of combo forward. He's 6'7", has a lot of length, does a lot of different things, rebounds the ball really well. I think he would bring a toughness, kind of a warrior-type mentality. I've seen comparisons to P.J. Washington and Wingan Gabriel, but I think the Kentucky staff looks at him more as a Michael Kidd-Gilchrist type, a guy who rebounds the ball at a really high level, has the potential to be a really good defender with his length, and has a much better shot, I think, than people give him credit for. He has the ability to knock down shots from a perimeter, which I'm sure will be a welcome sight for a lot of Kentucky fans.
I read somewhere that there was some thought he might consider reclassifying to 2018. You think there's anything to that?
From what I understand, he's old for his grade. I think he's already 18, but I think for the time being, the plan is to stay put and stay in 2019.
And then the other thing that you see a lot is about his friendship with James Wiseman. How real is that, and how impactful would this commitment be on Wiseman?
Yeah, both of those guys play for Penny Hardaway, for Team Penny, and the Nike EYBL. Those two are close. I wouldn't label that as a package deal by any stretch of the imagination, but it certainly doesn't hurt Kentucky to have DJ Jeffries in the fold already. I think that certainly would help Kentucky with James Wiseman, although I'm not sure they need a lot of help on that front, at least for the time being.
And then anything new on EJ Montgomery's recruitment?
No, I think he's taking things slowly, at least for the time being. He's still mulling over potentially taking a couple official visits. He's already been to Duke, North Carolina, and Kentucky for unofficial visits. I wouldn't expect a decision to come before the McDonald's All-American game in Atlanta, and that'll take place on March 28th.
And then one other on recruiting, and with the Sweet 16 starting, future Kentucky target, perhaps, Keke Tandy from University Heights is going to be playing, so Kentucky fans can take a look at his game. What will they see?
Extremely athletic guard, shoots the ball really, really well from the perimeter, one of the top scorers in the state, averaged over 30 points a game and leading University Heights to the first Sweet 16 since 2008. I think he's a guy that Kentucky will continue to keep an eye on even after the Sweet 16. He plays for Team Thad on the Under Armour circuit, so they'll have plenty of opportunities to watch him over the spring and summer.
Mentioned the GQ profile of Calipari earlier. There's another interesting story that's out there that you guys should take a look at. It's from The Ringer, and it's talking to former Kentucky players who are in the G League, and they all reflect very positively on their time at the University of Kentucky, even guys that left, like a guy like Daniel Orton, that maybe didn't leave under the best of circumstances, and Kyle Wilcher, who transferred. And then there's also a player that they've done kind of along the lines of an NCAA tournament bracket, and you've got a piece up about that at the Cat's Paws site, Chris. What's that about?
Yeah, it's really crazy to think about it. They have a 32-player Coach Cal one-and-done bracket, and a former NBA MVP is a two-seed in that bracket. So that goes to show you just the type of talent that John Calipari has coached, not only at Kentucky, but dating back to his days at Memphis and even at UMass. And so just really unbelievable, the guys that have come through even just the Kentucky program. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be really, really hard to beat out a guy like Anthony Davis or even a Carl Towns and Devin Booker.
Carl and Anthony and DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall are the one seeds. You referenced Derrick Rose as one of the twos. Devin Booker, a two. Marcus Camby, and who's the other one I'm missing? And Eric Bledsoe. And, you know, from their high school days, you cover this, the high school beat, Booker and Bledsoe from their high school days. Now they're the two seeds on a bracket like this. Look, all those names around them. That's pretty interesting. Pretty astute judge of talent there for Cal.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you look at a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein, who I think was a top 50 player coming out of his 2012, I believe, high school class, and what he was able to develop into a consensus first-team All-American, a lottery pick, and how much he was able to develop his game, and he's still developing his game. I think sometimes fans think once these guys get to the NBA that they stop, improving. But he's a guy that's just gotten better and better every single year, and now is making a very consistent and solid contribution for the Sacramento Kings.
At 20 after the top of the hour, chat with Chris Fisher. You can see that piece we're talking about at catspaws.com. We'll take a quick break. I'm right back. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Eggs and Lexington.
Look for the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
Catspaws.com here on the Leach Report. It's up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Chris, at Catspaws.com, you have a piece about the website, Nate Silver's website, 538, that looks at numbers, trends, etc., for not just sports, but for politics. And he has looked at the odds for Kentucky advancing to the Final Four. He doesn't make them high, doesn't put them at a very high set of odds, but they are slightly higher than Arizona, I noticed.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting projection. Obviously, that's going to be a potential monster second-round matchup for Kentucky. You have Arizona, who's, I think, playing with a chip on their shoulder after all of the Sean Miller FBI stuff that came out and has since been kind of refuted. And DeAndre Ayton, by far, I think, the best player in the country, the projected number one overall pick. And so it seems like every year we have a second-round Kentucky matchup where all the analysts are saying, well, this feels more like an Elite Eight or Final Four type of matchup, but that just seems to be the hand that Kentucky is dealt on an annual basis.
Ayton, coaches can't look ahead, but we can. So we'll since the matchup would occur on Saturday, and we wouldn't be on the air then. Let's talk about if it's Kentucky and Arizona from the standpoint of Ayton. You watched him a lot, I'm sure, in his high school days. What did you see then versus what are you seeing? What you're seeing now?
Yeah, I think at the AAU level, he was a little bit inconsistent as far as his motor was concerned. He had a tendency to kind of drift in and out of games. But you look at what he's become at Arizona, he's become an absolute man-child. I think he's put on probably 25 to 35 pounds of muscle. He looks like he's been chiseled out of granite and just can be an absolutely dominating and imposing force on the inside. I do think, at the very least, Kentucky has the sheer size and length and number of bodies that they will be able to throw at him with Winion Gabriel, Sasha Koya-Jones, Nick Richards, P.J. Washington, all of those guys. I would assume they would double the post like they did with Grant Williams against Tennessee in the SEC tournament. And a lot of it will depend on how well he can pass out of that and make reads and make plays on the fly.
Chris, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk next week.
All right, you bet. Thanks, Tom.
Chris Fisher, you can read him at catspaws.com. First order of business, of course, the Davidson Wildcats coming up tomorrow here in Boise, and we'll hear not only from Cal and the Kentucky players, but Coach McKillop and the Davidson players later today over at the open practices at Taco Bell Arena. We're going to hook up with Kevin Grevy here in just a second, get his take on what he's seeing from his alma mater as the Wildcats get ready to move into NCAA tournament play. And once again, almost always the occurrence with the case with John Calipari, they are playing their best basketball. Now, next season, if the guys come back that you think will, and then the recruits that they'll add with them, Kentucky will likely be in a situation where it'll be a higher seed, and the path won't be as challenging. But you deal with what you have to deal with. And back in 2011, Kentucky had a similar kind of setup to what they're facing now, and they got the first Final Four for John Calipari. Kevin Grevy on the line with us. And, Kevin, I'm sure you're enjoying what you're seeing out of your alma mater. Tell me what's impressing you about what you saw out in St. Louis and in the last two or three weeks before it.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Yes, I'm St. Louis. I thought they really came together. It was the first time I got to see Gilchrist really take over a game. He's been pretty patient, but I think he felt a sense of urgency. His defense on Sexton was fantastic. Getting the ball to the shooters, he really gets them going. But I was very impressed with the way they, just their intensity. They seem to have a purpose, and they weren't going to be denied. Beating Tennessee after Tennessee had come back on them there, and it was really beautiful to see. I thought this was one of the best jobs Coach Calipari has done.
Why is that? What is it in particular that stands out to you?
Well, they really had some hurdles. It's a young team, we all know that. Trying to find their roles, trying to find out their sweet spots, defensively, all the breakdowns, how are they going to get their rotations together. It seemed like it was more than one or two, three things. It was a number of problems. And, after that losing streak, and then they had to play Alabama at home with Colin Sexton, one of the top players in the country, I think that was the turning point. They were able to win an ugly game and contain him, and they finally realized, hey, if we're going to be successful, we all have to obviously do our own thing that Coach Cal wants from us, but we've got to have one another's back. We're going to have to deal with our defense. It's a lot easier to play a wide-open offensive game if you can get steals, long rebounds, deflections. It's more difficult, and you really play down to your talent in the competition when you have to play half-court basketball. And teams want to try to slow Kentucky down, and I think they fell into that. Realizing, well, the only way we're going to be able to run and get out and fill the lanes and have freedom is we're going to have to do with our defense. And I think it was a tough sell early by Coach Dow, but it was proven to the players that it's the best way to play.
We're talking with Kevin Grevy, and we're going to get to the break at the bottom of the hour here and come back and have him for a couple more minutes before we have to let him go. Reed Forgrave, Mike Fields, also coming up in the second half of our show. We're coming to you from Boise today, where the Wildcats play in the NCAA tournament tomorrow night against Davidson. And we'll continue chatting about the Cats with Kevin Grevy when we come right back. It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
A couple more minutes here with Kevin Grevy before he has to get to a speaking gig. And, Kevin, you were watching the Cats in St. Louis, and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander had a most outstanding player performance in those games out there. A lot of assists in the first two games, 29 points in the win over Tennessee. How NBA-ready is his game right now?
Oh, boy, he's ready to go. He is ready to go. This kid can really play, and he plays both ends, and he'll make an easy adjustment to the NBA because of his size, his length, his ability to shoot, but more importantly, as you mentioned, his ability to get others involved. And he just has a unique feel, something that you really can't teach. It takes a high basketball IQ to be able to do that. He's got it. He's just a joy to watch. He's so smooth. and graceful. That's another thing. I was always envious when I was a player, those guys like George Gervin and, you know, the greats that could do it effortlessly. And he certainly, I'm not going to say he's a nice man, but he's that kind of player who just has those kind of gifts.
You guys that have played and worked around the game, you talk about players understanding angles. What does that mean for the average fan? And secondly, he seems to be really good at it.
That's right. Well, first you have to be able to read the defense and be able to see seams and angles. And you have to anticipate the movement of your teammates, because when that lane is open, it closes so fast. And I wasn't a really great playmaker. I didn't have that kind of vision. I was more of a play finisher. I was hunting picks, and I was trying to get the timing right with my point guards so that the pass could be delivered when I was open. On the flip side of that, the playmaker, he's the one who has to see what everybody else is doing, read the defense, handle the pressure that he's feeling from the defender that's on him, and being able to time his drive based on where his offensive weapons are. And Gilgis is really good in the pick and roll. He's able to shed his defender and then sort of, as they call, turn downhill and get into that lane. And the game just seems to slow down for him because, yes, he's been guilty of some turnovers, but those are good turnovers when you're trying to create for your teammates and you're trying to break down that defense. And he's looking for the high lob, you know, to Washington or Richards. He's looking for Knox curling the pick. He's also looking for that flare shooter, and then he's looking for his own. And that's a lot to ask a point guard to do, but he has the ability to make the right decisions. And I just can't wait to watch him. You know, he's that kind of player.
Kevin, I know you got to run. I appreciate you jumping on with us. We'll holler back at you later on in the tournament.
You got it. Good luck. Thanks. I'll see you, Tom.
That's Kevin Grevey, one of the all-time great shooters at the University of Kentucky. And he makes a great point there about players. Also, it's not just Shea, but his teammates learning how to play off of him and to get in position and be ready to take shots that he might set up for them. And you really saw that play out ideally last week in St. Louis, particularly with Winyon Gabriel. But also think about that lob that Shea threw to Sasha Kalia-Jones, and Sasha read the opportunity, and when Shea went on the drive, I actually thought he was shooting a floater, and then you see Sasha come in and fly it and grab it and stuff it in, and that's the way it should work. That's the way it worked with Anthony Davis. There haven't been as many of those as we thought we would see out of this Kentucky team, but maybe more are on the way here in the NCAA tournament. We are coming up on 19 away from the top of the hour. It's the Leach Report Radio Network. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Reed Forgrave on deck. When we come back.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Welcome back to Boise. It's the Leach Report, and we are coming to you from the site of Kentucky's NCAA tournament game with Davidson tomorrow night. Cal was on ESPN earlier and talking about Davidson. He said Davidson's not a 12 seed. He said most people are picking Davidson to upset Kentucky. He said not sure it would be an upset. So gives you a little insight into what he'll be telling his guys as they prepare for this team. And it is a good team, a team that has made a deep tournament run before, but, you know, it was with Steph Curry. But still, it is a team that, if you look at the numbers, really
sound offensively. We'll get deeper into this tomorrow. Davidson's radio voice is going to join us to talk a little bit about it. But Bob McKillop's an outstanding coach, so his team will be well-drilled. And it'll be a big challenge for Kentucky in terms of their defensive communication, which was an issue for this team earlier but has gotten much better. We're efforting Reed Forgrave, but we're going to move Mike Fields up in the batting order here to talk about the boys' Sweet 16 that tips off in just a little bit, a little over a couple of hours from now at Rupp Arena back at Lexington. And Mike, the first game is going to be one of those neat stories that we sometimes get at the Sweet 16 where, as the old saying goes, the last person out of town turns out the lights. In this case, that'll be Irvin, Kentucky, as Estill County plays for the first time against Corbin.
That's right. It's like you say, it's the kind of stories that makes the Sweet 16 what it is. Never been to the Sweet 16 before, and I'm sure Estill County will be pretty much population close to zero once they're coming to Rupp to play Corbin. It's pretty cool.
I saw Oscar Combs tweet this out yesterday, and I was thinking about it too. A guy a lot of us knew who passed a couple of years ago, Earl Cox, was from Irvin. He would have loved this.
Yes. Yeah, I'm curious to see if Guy Strong, another Irvin.
Oh yeah,
he was a great Irvin basketball player back in the '40s and played at UK. I'm hoping he's there. I'm going to look him up and see how he's reacting to see the homeboys make it to Rupp.
I bet you he will be there. I haven't seen him this year. I usually see him over to UK basketball practice. At some point. Got there with some really really good teams of his own at Clark County.
Yeah, he sure
and
did.
And then the second game is maybe it could end up being the best game of the tournament, right? 2:30
yeah.
teams.
Everybody's figuring Scott County versus Trinity is one of those games you'd like to see in the state finals, but they're meeting in the first game, and it'll be a huge upset if the winner of that game doesn't make Sunday's finals. But that said, Scott County Trinity is a great first round game. Kind of reminds me of the '78 first round game between Apollo, which was undefeated with Wayne Chapman coaching them. And they went in and played Shelby County with Charles Hurt, and Shelby County beat them and went on to win the state championship. And that could be the case today. Whoever wins that could be crowned the champ this coming Sunday.
I remember that game. I was watched that at Freedom Hall.
Right.
And that was a Shelby County team that had – what was the guy's name? Played at Moorhead.
Norris Beckley, maybe?
Norris Beckley, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that in playing in that game for Apollo was Steve Barker. He's now the coach at Apollo who's made it to the Sweet 16. And I talked to him yesterday, and I said, does it seem like 40 years ago? He says, heck yeah, 40 years ago. I'm 58 years old now. So, time flies.
Indeed it does. We talked about this opening session, but the rest of the field, the first first 2 days of all the opening round games, what are the other – attractive matchups?
Well, down the bottom bracket, it's kind of like up the top, you have Scott County and Trinity. The bottom, you have Covenant Catholic and Fern Creek. They could meet in the quarterfinals Friday night, and one of those two teams is going to be a major surprise if one of them isn't playing in Sunday's finals, too. So, you know, upsets happen, but, boy, those four teams, Scott County, Trinity, Covcath, and Fern Creek, have kind of separated themselves during the season, and we'll see if that carries over to the tournament this week.
What about individuals? I mentioned Kiki Tandy earlier from University Heights, a guy that Kentucky has shown interest in. Who else should fans pay attention to?
Covcath's got a couple of terrific players. C.J. Frederick's already signed with Iowa. They have a 7-foot one guy, a monster inside. He's signed with Xavier. It'll be interesting to see how that, you know, the big guys in college nowadays are kind of dinosaurs, but he's a big body. Andrew Taylor from Corbin, one of the leading scorers in state history, he's signed with Furman. There's Billy Hicks has got the great junior, Michael Marino. He's already got D1 offers from several schools, and Trinity's got some terrific players. I mean, they look like college guys right now. Jay Scrub, David Johnson, Justin Powell, they'll all be Division I players. So the tournament certainly doesn't lack star power and Division I players.
It is always one of the great events of any sports season, and I always
hope that Kentucky gets placed in the NCAA bracket that lets me get to see Wednesday afternoon. So that didn't happen. So I'll be watching from here in Boise. And I know you'll be courtside, and folks can follow you at khsaa.org, right?
Right, right. And I'll be tweeting occasionally about different people, places, and things there. So it should be a fun week.
Thank you, Mike.
Enjoy Boise.
Thank you. Mike's a great follow on Twitter because he gives you a lot of great history of not just the Sweet 16, but just high school basketball in Kentucky. So definitely follow at Mike Field. I think it's at Mike Field's notes. If it's different from that, I'll look it up and let you know. Got to get to a quick break. Reed Forgrave joins us when we come right back. It's the Leach Report from Boise.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
One change on the Twitter I gave you for Mike Fields. It's at Mike Fields, K-H-S-A-A now. So that's where you can follow him. And again, a great follow. Reed Forgrave joins us now. He has got a piece out in GQ on John Calipari that is really insightful to the degree that his daughter, not Reed's, but Cal's, Megan tweeted out yesterday, it's the most real article about my dad I've ever read. Reed, that had to be quite a compliment for you.
That was one of the best tweets I've gotten in a while. Because, like, you know, it's one thing for a fan who doesn't know someone to say, oh, yeah, that's my coach. We love Coach Cal. It's quite another thing to hear someone's daughter say, and not just say the best, but the most real. Because, you know, this story wasn't, it's not necessarily all roses. There's some warts in there. But I think that's what makes Cal a real person is, like, I think he's someone who fully admits his warts. And I think that's admirable at that age.
I'll give you this compliment among many that could come your way, is that a lot of times, I'll say not a lot, sometimes I read pieces like this, and it seems like the writer had an idea of what the story was before he or she went to interact with the subject. This reads like a guy who went in with an open mind and was interested to, you know, and wrote the article after he gathered the information.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think articles like this, when you get access with a famous person, I think they naturally tend to be positive articles, right? Like, the whole point of an article like this is to get to know someone beyond their, you know, famous persona. But I've had plenty of interactions with Cal the past, gosh, since I got into college basketball writing, the past 5 years or so. I've gotten to know him fairly well, interviewed him a handful of times for TV and for print. And he's someone that I have gained a large amount of respect for, because the weird thing about college basketball, I think more than any other sport, is there's a vast gulf between perception and reality often. And the perception of Cal as the villain, you know, when I first started reporting on him 5 years ago, I just found it just to be, couldn't be further from the truth. Like, yes, John Calipari is a salesman, and I think people can be uncomfortable with salesmen, but I think he's an honest salesman, and there's something to be said for that. So, yeah, it's the way that I like to go into stories is to, you know, have a general idea of where you're going, but then kind of let the subject take you in different ways.
After I'd been around him a couple of years, I told people what makes him successful, I'm starting to understand, is that he's the most honest man in college basketball. And you'd be laughed out of the room by some people at that statement, but I still think it's true.
Yeah, I think there's something to that, you know, like. The fact that he goes to these recruits and, you know, I quoted Anthony Davis in this story. And what Anthony Davis said was what struck him most when Cal was recruiting him. First of all, he comes into his neighborhood, the baddest neighborhood in Chicago, and just kind of walks in like he owns the place, you know, like he's lived there for 20 years. And that was one thing that impressed Anthony Davis. But the other thing I said, and this really struck me, is that he came in and said that number one player in the nation BS, that doesn't mean anything here. You have to work for it. You get what you deserve here, and you deserve what you work for. And I think that resonates among players who are, you know, so much of the AAU culture spills into college basketball, and it's like, hey, I,
I deserve this because I am this good, not because I worked for it. So I do think there's a lot to that, and not every player. Like, the players that Cal wants tend to, like the type of character that he likes to recruit, they tend to be up for that. But the people, it's also kind of a weeding out technique. Because if you're the guy that's like, yo, I need 30 shots a game, you're going to listen to Cal's recruiting pitch and say, oh, this is not the place for me.
Anything that you, because Cal's been, there's been a lot of stories written about him and a lot of interviews done.
Yeah.
So anything that surprised you as you got through this?
I was, I'd never really spent much time around Ellen before, and I thought she was fascinating. Not just the fact that she has three, you know, she goes to the shooting range all the time and has three guns, including one that's like a Ruger with a laser sight, which I just thought was hilarious and awesome and telling. I thought their relationship was fascinating to me because you think of John Calipari as, you know, Mr. Flash, Mr. Glitzy. He loves doing that, you know, the opening to college basketball season where he goes out and makes the speech at Rupp, Big Blue Madness. He loves, you know, cavorting with Drake and kind of being famous. But the fact that he is, you know, kind of a homebody, really, he's someone who likes to hang out with his wife, and they'll watch a couple reality shows, and he'll get on the phone and make some recruiting calls, but he's kind of a guy who just enjoys being at home. I think that really surprised me, because that's different than what people would think is the perception of him. And also, and this didn't make the story, but when I was hanging out at his beach house, it was right after that the Charlottesville, like the alt-right rallies in Charlottesville. And the way that he watches TV news is fascinating, because I think a lot of people get stuck on, like, I'm going to watch CNN or I'm going to watch Fox News. And it was the day of the Trump press conference, and he was switching between MSNBC and Fox and CNN back and forth and back and forth for, like, hours, because he wanted to hear every side of it. As a journalist, I really appreciated someone who thinks that way.
Interesting. I wish we had more time, we're running short here. I do appreciate you jumping on here on short notice and doing this. And we'll get you back and spend more time talking about this. It's a great piece. It's in GQ right now. What's the website for GQ? I don't have it handy.
It's just GQ.com. So,
simple enough.
Yeah, it's on my Twitter as well. So at Reed Forgrave. But, yeah, it's out there. Google John Calipari, and it's probably the first or second thing that comes up right now.
And it's REIDFORGRAVE at Reed Forgrave, right?
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Great, great story. And I tweeted out a link to it. You can follow on if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see it there. If not, just go find it and then follow at Reed Forgrave. And it's a really, really insightful piece. And we will get him back at some point and spend more time talking about it. But tomorrow, we'll be getting into the game. Kentucky and Davidson with Mike Pratt, with Jared Latch, the radio voice for Davidson, and with Justin Rowland. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow from Boise. On the Leach Report, served up by Wild.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on the Leach Report Radio Network.